Okay, item 1287.
Authorize a change order for Powell Butte Reservoir 2, Phase 2 project at a cost of $1,600,000.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor Hales. Before us today is a change order. I believe it's the eighth change order.
Ninth, excuse me.
But David will clarify that. For Powell Butte Reservoir 2, which is now currently in service. In fact, you've been drinking water from Powell Butte Reservoir 2.
Here's to you.
We will be coming back at some future date to talk more about the project in the context of the overall compliance with LT2. But the good news is that we are under budget. And as David explains, this change order addresses a dispute with the contractor, which we have resolved and for which we're seeking council approval to move forward. Because the change order is in excess of $500,000, it falls within our new policy that requires that it come to council, not on the consent agenda, but on a regular agenda for a full council hearing and deliberation. And with that, I turn it over to David Schaff.
Good afternoon, Mayor, and the rest of the City Council. I'm David Schaff, the Director of the Portland Water Bureau. With me is Chief Engineer Mike Stuhr. Powell Butte Reservoir 2 is one of several projects that are associated with the city's compliance with the unfunded federal LT2 drinking water mandate. You'll recall that we're the only system in the country that's achieved a variance on the treatment side of the rule related to cryptosporidium. Our variance saved us the cost of building a very expensive treatment plant up in the Bull Run watershed. The open reservoir portion of the rule is what we're talking about today. The Powell Butte project includes the reservoir, site excavation, on and off site piping, other facilities associated with the reservoir, as well as the maintenance building, caretaker residence, visitor center, and other minor park improvements. Although we have about a year's worth of work to go, the new reservoir was indeed put into service last August, and it's been performing as it should. As a matter of fact, Reservoir 1 is offline, has been off for some time, so that we can do some of the piping work. And then we'll be cleaning it this spring and putting it into service in the summer in time for our increased demand. You, at least some of you, will remember that you approved this project back in 2009 at an estimated budget of $138 million. We expect to complete this project at about just over $117 million, so more than $20 million less than we originally told you in 2009, or about 15% under that original budget. Yes?
Could you just repeat that for the record?
Sure.
For all of our many viewers.
We expect to complete the project for just over $117 million. That's $20 million less, or about 15% under the original budget that council approved in 2009. In accordance with city code and state statute, we contracted with SSC Construction, Inc. through a low-bid procurement process to construct this portion of the project. The original contract was for $80.2 million. There have been eight change orders that have been approved, representing a net increase of $2.2 million in the contract. The total cost of this proposed change order, number nine, is $1.6 million. It will increase the contract amount to just over $84 million, 4.7% over the original contract amount. Now, you know that OMF now provides oversight of active construction contracts with something called the City of Portland Open Construction Contract Status Report. It's a quarterly snapshot that uses a stoplight system to rank projects in term of contract amendments. This project remains green at below 5% in cost changes. Now, because we're still working on the project, we'll be for another close to another year, we can expect additional change orders. There might be as many as three before the contract is complete, the contractor is demobilized, and the entire site's been turned over to our operations group for a day-to-day operations. As an example, I'm told that we're actually negotiating payment for change order number 10 for additional field work that we've assigned to the contract. As Commissioner Fish alluded to, city code requires us to obtain your approval when we're amending contracts if the value of the contract is over $500,000 and the amendment pushes the contract over 25% of the original amount. We're not there. This change order only increases the total contract amount to 4.7% above the original contract amount, but we're here today because Commissioner Fish requires that all change orders over $500,000 come before the council as a non-emergency regular agenda ordinance. So the reason Mike is here is he's going to do the specifics. The change order resolves the settlement of several claims as we near the end of the project, and I've asked Mike to kind of go over them and outline them for you.
So this particular claim settles six.
Mike, introduce yourself for the record.
Hi, I'm Mike Stewart. I'm the chief engineer of the Water Bureau. This settlement settles six claims together. The first claim had to do with something called a plunger valve actuator. Sounds tricky, doesn't it? If you imagine your toilet plunger and shoving it into the bottom of the toilet, it plugs it up. That's how this valve works. It's
a little bigger, I suspect.
I was going to say
bigger. It's bigger. It takes a big crane to move it, but it functions exactly that way, and it allows us to throttle the water that comes in and out of the big conduits. They're all custom designed. You don't buy valves like this off the shelf, and we had to modify the design some. The second one is a design change due to moving the location of one of our big vaults on 147th and Powell. Several years ago, I can hardly remember that far back, we agreed to let Lucid put in an electrical turbine in the piping system, and we had to move the vaults around, and we needed to pay the contractor for that. The third one is what we called the Kelly Butte Reservoir tie-in allowance. We're doing two huge projects at once. We run off of three conduits at a time, conduit 2, 3, and 4. And we had to juggle the conduits, and because of various advances and delays in the project, we had to stop the Powell Butte contractor while we did some work that we needed to do for the Kelly Butte job. The fourth one is a maintenance shutdown due to valve work, due to repairs on conduit 2. When we opened up this big vault in the street, it's a 2 or 3 story vault, and started taking it apart, we found that in the old days, we used the big valves in these vaults to throttle water. That causes turbulence, and it chewed up the concrete lining that's inside these valves, and we had to fix that. We won't have this problem in the future because we put these big plunger valves, which are designed to throttle, in place. Then we had settlement of the environmental quality charge for the discharge at Powell Butte. You all recall that. And the last one is greater than expected cracking and repairs in the reservoir. Maybe this is kind of funny, maybe it isn't. But almost 103 years ago today, 9 days shy of 103 years ago, one of my predecessors, D.D. Clark, who was chief engineer of the Bureau at the time, had to explain to the newspaper then, which I think was called the Portland Journal, that yes, Reservoir 5, which they just turned on, was leaking 3 million gallons a day, but everything would be all right in the end. I think our contractor has done an excellent job at fixing the cracks in Powell Butte 2. They're expected. That's why we have the provisions in the contract. And right now, since engineers were kind of picky about how we say these things, it leaks between 0 and 375 gallons a day. It's the tightest reservoir in the city. So that's the summary of...
And the most resilient.
And the most resilient. We'll all be very glad if we have an earthquake that that reservoir is there because it will survive the earthquake.
Thank you.
Okay. Questions for either David or Mike? Thank you both.
Great report. I wish I had some because this is really interesting. But you've just explained it all to my satisfaction. I know we have a couple of folks here who might be have questions, but thank you for that good explanation.
We try. Thank you.
All right. Anyone like to speak on this item? Come on up, Linda.
Linda Bauer. I object to paying the Water Bureau's contractor $40,000 to break the law. They were fined... by the Department of Environmental Quality, $40,000. And apparently we are paying for that. Thank you.
Okay, we'll have David come up.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Thank you,
good question.
David, you have exactly 30 seconds to answer that question because we have another panel waiting to be heard.
Actually, I'm going to let Mike.
So when we were issued the fine, being the good citizens we are.
Some of us don't know what the fine was for, so can you just
we had an inadvertent discharge when we were draining the reservoir to look at its performance of excess chlorine into Johnson Creek. And we weren't supposed to do that. We thought we had our bases covered, but obviously we didn't. And I would thank Linda Bauer for being aware. She's the one who caught it, and if she hadn't been there and called us up, this could have been worse than it was. But we fixed that, and the fine was $40,800. We wrote a check right away to DEQ because we don't delay and hassle the contractor. In the process of negotiating this settlement, we reduced their payment by $40,800 because the contract required them to suffer that cost. So, yes, we paid the initial cost because we promptly paid DEQ, and we have recovered that cost in this settlement.
So it's us getting the $40,000 in back?
Right. Absolutely.
By not paying them $40,000 as much as we would have.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yes. Got it.
How does a person who's not got a how did Linda even know that the chlorinated water was getting in there?
Linda's very smart, and she's been watching this a long time, and you can smell it.
She has special powers.
She could actually.
And maybe she does have special powers too. I don't know, but she could smell it, and she was right.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Both that we have an astute citizen, and that you then responded. You don't get to come back, Linda, but could you nod or shake your head as to whether that explanation is satisfactory to you? Thank you very much.
And by the way, Commissioner Fritz, we decided for a variety of reasons not to contest the fine. The Bureau, even though we were working with a contractor and a subcontractor, we felt that it was not an issue that we should use ratepayer dollars to litigate or to pursue other remedies. So we paid the fine, and we made sure it didn't happen again.
So thank you, Linda.
Thank you both.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Then let's set that over for second reading next week, thanking the Bureau for good management and a successful project management, and thanking Linda for being vigilant in more ways than one. All right.